Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Battle of LA last night, it had a Hollywood ending. And today, the winning team made a big trade. Plus, I'd say that Klay Thompson is back to full strength. My goodness, a performance that even he was impressed by. And Trae Young and the Hawks, what did they do to the streaking Suns? We've got all of that and more. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews, joined on set here by two-time WNBA All-Star Chinne Agumike. Woj is standing by to update us on a Clippers trade that happened just moments ago. But first, I'd like to start with the wild night that happened in Crypto.com Arena between the Lakers and the Clippers. That was last night, so there you see them. The Lakers, remember, they're still without LeBron James. I want to start in the first half, though, because check Carmelo here. He lands. He's holding his leg up a little bit. He appears to have injured that leg. He would not return to the game. But really, things got heated up in the fourth quarter, Janae. This is when people were texting me saying it looked dead early on. Not anymore.
No, you got to stay up. The final minute was pretty much another game in itself. You saw Russ with a nice jumper. But Reggie Jackson, you'll see him a lot here in the clutch with a nice reverse right there. But hold up, wait a minute. Malik Monk knocks down the three. That's where he loves to be, behind the arc. The Lakers, they go up two off of that big shot.
Well, even LeBron James tweeting about that shot. Bang, bang, he says, but not so fast.
Yeah, hey, anything you can do, I can do too, right? That's what the Clippers' energy was all night. Marcus Morris Sr. right there had a huge night, I think 29. And the Clippers, their lead by one. Now, to this play right here. This is what LA wants to see. Whether you're a Clippers or a Lakers fan, AD is a showstopper, so the Lakers take the lead. But again, Reggie Jackson, I mean, spin move layups, like where's the help defense? He was feeling himself. Now this play right here, this is what the battle of LA comes down to. A final shot and AD falls short.
Not quite. Let's see those final two buckets one more time.
So that was the actual game winner, but right here, AD, it's hard to make a floating floater, you know, especially when you're going full steam ahead.
Well, and Reggie Jackson literally danced into his post-game interview with Ali LaFour. So this game featured six go-ahead field goals in the final 65 seconds of regulation. That's tied for the most in a game over the last 25 seasons, but it's almost the most important game since February of 2017. So for more on the news for both of those teams, our senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski joins us now. So Woj, the Clippers, they just made a trade. What details can you give us?
Yeah, Portland and the Clippers, and the Clippers acquiring Robert Covington and Norman Powell in this trade with LA, and LA sending off Justice Winslow, Eric Bledsoe, Keon Johnson, and a 2025 second round pick that will come via the Detroit Pistons. And for the Clippers, listen, this is them trying to set themselves up with Norman Powell, you know, certainly a high-level two-way guard who has multiple years left on his contract, just signed that extension in Portland. And now you've got a high-level scoring guard who also defends his position very well. And for the Blazers, listen, the emergence of Anthony Simons this season, you know, their terrific young combo guard, you know, allows them to move off of the rest of Powell's money. And you're going to want to sign Simons to an extension this summer. And both these teams, Malika, they're going to continue to be active between now and the trade deadline next week. I think there's more moves for both to make. But I think for LA, now the chance, you know, they're looking down the road. Norman Powell's under contract, and they have a player who, you know, really fits in well with PG and Kawhi Leonard.
And we will be covering all of those moves as they're made. But Woj, yesterday after the game, Clippers coach Ty Lue, he said that we know Kawhi's probably not going to come back. That's a direct quote. And he also said, we don't know the status of PG. So what can you tell us about the status of that Clippers superstar duo?
I think it's always been something of a long shot of Kawhi Leonard playing this season, but the Clippers haven't ruled it out. They just got to see where they are later in the year as his rehab progresses, where the team is, you know, how he feels, what it looks like long-term for him, because that's the important part for the Clippers. You know, they haven't closed that door yet, but I think Ty Lue is echoing the idea, you know, that it's still a fairly short window with an ACL injury for him to play again this season and what's left in the season when he might be ready. And then Paul George, listen, this is an injury that they've hoped would heal with time. You know, they push back, his tests, some more testing into February. They'll see how it looks, how it's healed. Of course, you want, if you can, to avoid surgery on it. But again, I think there's still uncertainty around both. But the trade today, I think, really sets up the Clippers long-term. I think for both teams, you know, you look at projecting them out, it made sense for both sides.
Absolutely. And as Ty Lue said, Paul George is going to have an MRI in the coming weeks. Woj, thank you so much for joining us and for all of your reporting. So I want to stick with the Clippers here, though, because they won the game last night. But I want to open it up to our panel of Chinea Gumake and also welcome in NBA champion Kendrick Perkins. And Perk, I want to start with you here. And we also have Zach Lowe joining us. Perk, where do the Clippers go from here after what you heard from Woj?
Well, one thing I know about Ty Lue from him coaching me in Boston and coaching me in Cleveland, Ty Lue wants to win. Like, give him some guys that he could go out there and compete with, and he's going to figure it out. And I think where the Clippers are right now, they're right the eighth seed sitting at 500, and they're like, hold on. If we could get a Norman Powell and Robert Covington, which they did, and maybe a Kawhi Leonard in March or April, along with a Paul George, hey, we could really make a run at this, because what they figured out is that Reggie Jackson could hold his own. Zubac has been playing well. So the Clippers are saying, while we're sitting up here talking about Golden State, Phoenix, the Lakers, Memphis, all these other teams, they're saying, wait a second, our aspirations is still to win a championship, and I actually love this move by the Clippers.
Zach, what do you make of this trade?
I think it's a great trade for the Clippers. Perk is dead on. Steve Ballmer, yeah, Paul George is hurt, Kawhi Leonard's hurt. He doesn't believe in throwing seasons away. This trade helps them right now, but it's more about next year. This is a salvo from the Clippers. We are going into next season hoping to be the favorites to win the NBA championship with Kawhi and Paul George back. Let's break it down. Robert Covington is a free agent this summer. Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, were not in the Clippers' long-term plans. This deal could really just be Keon Johnson and a second-round pick for Norm Powell. If that's the case, that's a home run for the Clippers. Norm Powell is a great fit for them. And by the way, they can still re-sign Robert Covington. I think Steve Ballmer can afford a pretty big luxury tax payment. And it's maybe a hedge against what if Nick Batum opts out of his deal and leaves in free agency? Well, then we can have Covington sort of do that same role. It gets a home run for the Clippers. The Blazers, I think it's a little bit disappointing return. But this is for the Clippers. This is a signal to the league. We are coming in loaded next season. Mm.
Yeah, you know it's going to be a good day when all of us agree. I loved this trade, you know, for both parties involved, you know, offloading the checkbooks for Portland. But more importantly, when it comes to competitive teams that we have high expectations for, that's the Clippers. And, you know, if there was a theme from last night to tonight, their veterans lead the way for them.
Yeah.
You know, Reggie Jackson, if you look at Serge Ibaka having a big output, Marcus Morris Sr., plus the great coaching of Ty Lue. Then you add in a Norm Powell, who, shout out to Norm Powell, he trains with someone that I know, AJ Diggs. And so to bring him back to LA, my trainer. And then also adding, you know, just development. You know, they've done a good job of developing the guys that they've drafted. But more importantly, putting together a group that is very veteran, very experienced, and very poised. So next year, they're going to be right in the conversation, as Zach said, for championship.
Well, and you mentioned it, Chiney. I mean, Serge Ibaka, I was in the building last night, Perk, and Serge Ibaka, I mean, he was so instrumental for what they were able to do and the energy that they were able to kind of put together. But the key for him has been that he's been healthy recently. And you know who else is was healthy, Klay Thompson. So I want to stay in the Western Conference here and show you what Klay did last night, because if he wasn't back before, he is certainly back now. He was playing against the Kings. The Warriors were hosting them in Chase Center. So the first half, it was all Klay Thompson from deep, Jeanette.
Yes, the sharpshooter, wildly streaky Klay Thompson is back. And by the way, Steph, he was like setting him up perfectly all night. Look at that doink right behind the head. Take nice little hesitation dribble to his sweet spot. Then you keep going. All right, you saw Curry do it from the right. Now he did it with his left hand. How wild is that? One-handed passes to his splash, bro. And you know the Warriors love to get out in transition. I mean, is anyone going to tell him, like, that might be his spot right now?
Somebody needs to guard him. Because clearly, look, where does he run again, Shanae?
Right to the same corner. But, hey, I think he was 5 for 5, maybe 6 for 6 from the half at that point.
You said transition. We'll take a look at this. Klay Thompson steals the ball and easy bucket. Between that and Jonathan Kuminga, we'll see that bucket a little bit later.
My goodness,
the Warriors win it. There's the dancing, and here's them after the game.
I felt so dang good, and everything I've been through, I just really appreciate nights like this. The shooting part is so much fun, and when you see hard work paying off, it just hits different now.
Let it fly. Got another one! Klay Thompson, just ridiculous!
He can get hot at any moment. He got that look in his eye. We love to see that. Big boost for the whole team.
Happy with the night, but I want to build off this. I want to shoot the lights out all the time.
Lots of green on Klay's shot chart last night. So Thompson's 23 points are tied for his most since his return. And he also made 7 threes for the first time since coming back, and the 31st time in his career. That's the 4th most in the NBA history, behind Steph, James Harden, and Damian Lillard. So, Shanae, what happens if the Warriors get this version of Klay moving forward?
The Warriors can really win a championship. It's not like an if. This is a reality that they can have. And I'll just say this. Klay Thompson, he's starting to get his mojo. It takes a few games for you to get your legs. And then finally you get your legs, and then your shot's right under, and you find your sweet spots. Now, Steph, if we see more of the Steph that we've always known, not necessarily like the last few months,
right,
which he's allowed the last few months. If we get Klay, Steph, plus all-star Wiggins, and then a healthy Draymond back, there's not necessarily a team, if they're playing their best basketball at the right time, that can impede them from potentially getting to the NBA Finals.
Well, and when Klay plays like that, it actually makes it easier on Steph, because all of a sudden he's not getting the defensive attention. You have to pick your poison. But it's interesting that you mentioned Draymond Green, because, Perk, I want to ask you about the Warriors rookie Jonathan Kuminga. He's averaging 18.5 points per game on 64% shooting over his last two contests. So, How is his play forcing the Warriors to handle his rotation spot, particularly when, as Shanae said, Draymond Green, James Wiseman, when they return?
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, it's not going to affect Draymond Green, because Draymond Green and Kuminga could play together. We all know Draymond Green is that point forward. He initiates the offense, but Kuminga is that lob threat. Kuminga is that guy he could be that JaVale McGee for them. But I knew he was athletic. I didn't know he was that skilled. He's very skilled for us creating, to be able to drive and get to the paint, finishing right and left hand, dunking the ball, finishing through contact. But here's the thing. We keep saying when Wiseman gets back, but Wiseman is going to have to earn those minutes, because if I'm Steve Kerr, there's no way that I'm keeping this young stud, Kuminga, out of the lineup. Wiseman is going to have to earn or wait his time, because the way that this man is balling, he fits perfect with that offense. I mean, so much attention is around the perimeter with Steph, Klay, Andrew Wiggins, because of the multiple pick-to-pick actions. When he's diving to the basket and rolling with his athleticism, they're hard to stop, and he just fits in perfect. So I understand people were waiting on Wiseman, but he's going to have to earn those minutes from Kuminga.
And we all worked the 2021 NBA draft, and the biggest question around Kuminga was how bad does he want it? The game of basketball, will he take possessions off? Perk is right. He's earned it, and so I think you're right. You know, that added center of James Wiseman will help, but you're going to have to outplay some of your competition, which elevates your competition, which puts them into producer Steve, yes, the championship conversation.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to be seeing
Moses
a little bit
Moody.
More.
Moody Moses.
Smoody Moody.
I have a, Moody.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a little bit more of the Warriors and a little bit more of Jonathan Kuminga later in our show in Top of the Top because whoo, buddy. But still ahead on NBA Today, no list is perfect, so we're going to dive into the biggest snubs when it comes to the All-Star reserves. And Ant-Man, he had himself a game against the Pistons, but it's what he did after the game that is going to put a smile on your face. Plus, Perk takes us on a stroll down memory lane because Big Fella's fondest KG Celtics memories are ahead of Big Ticket's Big Honor.
Hold on, y'all. Don't ask no questions yet. I'm trying to put an order in.
Where are you ordering from?
McDonald's. Yes, sir.
What's on the menu tonight?
Chris, he said no questions.
Yeah, right. Tell him to lock in, man. Hold on. I got one more thing. McChickens.
You know what time it is. It's time to go coast to coast. And we're going to start with the man we just saw, Anthony Edwards, because he scored a team-high 25 points in a win over Detroit, starting hot with 12 in the first. So, Janae, is that what you'd order post-game?
Well, I would say I hope it was a Big Mac and fries, but, like, I bet you his McFlurry never showed up, okay? But the reality here is that this is the young star that we've all been waiting for, both on and off the court, and it feels like finally the Timberwolves have found some real momentum, Malika.
I don't know.
I haven't eaten them since, like, year two or three.
Oh, I'm all for like a McChicken.
Chicken nuggets and barbecue sauce.
So please share next time. All right, speaking of young stars, the Heat, they snapped a three-game losing streak with a 17-point win over the Spurs. Tyler Hero, he led the way with 24 off of the bench. So, Chinee, we're going to dig into this more a little later in the show, but were you surprised that he wasn't an all-star?
I was completely surprised. I know this has been a unique year for all-stars, but this man, I mean, he leads the NBA in points off the bench. And just really, if you have the team that's top two in the standings in the East, you expect maybe more than one player. But I guess that's been the theme of All-Stars.
Not to mention his health and his ability to stay out on the floor for the Heat this season. All right, the Hawks, they snapped the Suns' 11-game winning streak with the first 40-point game against Phoenix this season. And Trae Young, he became the ninth player in NBA history with 20 40-point games before turning 24. So is Ice Trae colder than he's ever been, Chennai?
He was pretty cold in the playoffs. And this is the regular season, but having the big team in town that was streaking atop of the NBA when it comes to wins, he gets up for moments like these, and this is why I was like, oh gosh, everyone in Atlanta, their Twitter was going crazy. They deserve it, though.
Well, not to mention, this is about the point in the season where they turned things around last year. So look at this. Look at his numbers. He's been balling. You can see where his 43 points rank in terms of history, but whoo! Watch out. The Hawks, they are on the up and up. All right, so now joining us for more on the Hawks and Suns is senior writer and host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe. So, Zach, in your 10 things column, it came out today, both of these teams are featured. So we just gave Trae some love, but what else about the Hawks has stood out to you during this recent hot stretch?
Yeah, one of the Hawks' biggest problems in the Trae Young era has been they stink whenever Trae Young is on the bench, and that hasn't been true in this 8-1 stretch. They're plus 26 with Trae Young resting, and that's because they've gotten all their guys healthy, which has given them the bench they thought they were going to have all along. Bogdan Bogdanovic and Danilo Gallinari, they hit threes. They supply firepower. But let's give some love to two guys. DeLon Wright doing a really nice job at backup point guard on both ends of the floor, and Onyeka Okongwu. Keep an eye on him. He's already one of the best backup centers in the league. He's proven that he's ready for more minutes. He's explosive. He's smart. He's a good defensive player. They've really stabilized the Hawks bench, which was a weak spot. And I also think the Cam Reddish trade sort of eased some tension in the locker room, maybe.
Yeah, so we'll see how active they are now ahead of the trade deadline. But as for the Suns, they still have the league's best record, even after the loss last night. And in your 10 Things article, you broke down what makes them so dangerous. So let's start with offense. Can you take us through that?
They just never make any mistakes. Everyone is always doing it. It starts here. Look at this clip. The only guys that are allowed to hold the ball for the Suns are the stars. So Devin Booker has a little bit of a mismatch. Let's see what happens. Let's see if help comes. Here comes Nick Claxton on the help. Look what Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges do. They just switched places. A simple little thing like this can confuse the defense. Boom, extra pass. Jay Crowder catches it on the run. That draws help. Another extra pass to Mikal Bridges. Nobody ever takes bad shots on this team, ever. Only good shots. And all the time they're doing little things. And defensively, this looks simple, but that's because they make it look simple. This is James Harden. There's a switch. Boom, nobody messes up. Force him to his right, away from the screen. Done. DeAndre Ayton's there. Mikal Bridges helps from the weak side, but not too much. And then Jay Crowder finishes it with the steal. This team is just airtight. All the little things they nail constantly. They're not the sexiest team. They're not the most explosive team, but they play for each other and they make good decisions all the time. They do not beat themselves. They maximize every possession.
Well, and they've had these win streaks before. They've come to an end and they've still been able to pick it kind of right back up. Zach, we will see you in a little bit. Everyone, make sure to check out Zach's 10 Things column that's up on ESPN.com right now. Still to come, though, on NBA Today, between DeJounte Murray, Jared Allen, Jaylen Brown, and more. We're talking about the snubs of the All-Star Game in just a bit. And Big Perk, he can't wait to talk about his fondest Celtics memories with the big ticket ahead of a very big honor. So we'll dive into all of that. Plus, this season hasn't gone as planned for the Lakers or for the Knicks. So who needs to make a trade more right now? Stay tuned.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm really, really out for blood this time. Look, this is love. This is hate.
All you have to do is say Duke Carolina and everybody understands it.
Carolina versus Duke.
There's nothing like it.
Fresh blood versus historic. Blue blood. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. on ESPN.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
So the All-Star reserves were announced last night. So let's start with the East, because James Harden, he joined LeBron as the only All-Stars to be selected every year for the last 10 seasons. So they're joined by Jimmy Butler, hometown hero Darius Garland, Zach LaVine, Jason Tatum, Fred VanVleet, and Chris Middleton. So that's the East. Let's head over to the West, because Chris Paul and Devin Booker, they both made it from the NBA leading Suns, and Paul's 12 selections trail only Bob Cousy among point guards in NBA history. And they're joined by Luka Doncic, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and the injured Draymond Green. But if we're talking about who made it, we also have to talk about who didn't. So as for the snubs, Spurs guard DeJounte Murray is on the outside looking in, despite averaging 8 rebounds and 8 assists per game. While in the East, LaMelo Ball of the Hornets, Jared Allen of the Cavs, Jaylen Brown of the Celtics, they all had great cases. You know who else I'm going to throw in there? I'm going to throw in Tyler Hero from the Miami Heat. But to break all of this down, I'm now joined by our senior NBA writer for the Undefeated, Mark Spears. And Mark, you had a column on the Undefeated, it's up right now, that details the biggest all-star snubs. So I want to get into it a little bit. Who's your biggest snub in the West, Mark?
Wow. Well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to go into Adam Silver's head. Silver's head, I think the initial snub to him is Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis? He's averaging 23. He's averaging nearly 10 rebounds. He's a top 75 player all time. Those guys are getting honored the day before the game. So you would, how's Anthony Davis not there? Well, Anthony Davis isn't there right now because he missed 21 games. The Lakers are struggling. But if LeBron's hurt and you don't have Anthony Davis, then you have no Lakers representation. But it sounds like Anthony Davis is ready to go on vacation. He said his wife has stuff planned already. So maybe he's telling Adam Silver to leave him alone. So then you go there. Then you go to the Suns. They're probably pushing Ayton. They said the Warriors don't get 3. Warriors get 3. We need 3. But I think it's going to end up being one of the rising stars who believes he's an all-star, Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay. So how about the biggest snub in the East then?
Ooh, well, I'm going in Adam Silver's mind again, Malika. And I think right here, bring all those guys that were snubbed into the room. You know that Kyrie Irving is the best player. But the Eastern coaches have spoken. He's only played 10 games. He's missed 41 games due to not being vaccinated. It'll be interesting to see what Adam thinks about that. No Kevin Durant. Maybe you replace him with a net. But, hey, Jared Allen's there. There's another Cleveland guy. But one guy that's not there, nobody from Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets. Mm. I think ultimately in the end, even though Irving's the best player, he's missed too many games, probably by the NBA standards. I think they go Charlotte Hornet. I'm sorry, Miles Bridges. I think they're going to take your rookie of the year, electrifying, fun, all-star game-ish teammate. LaMelo Ball.
You know, I get getting into Adam Silver's head here, but I'm not sure you can make a case for Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis being a snub here. But I hear you, Mark, and I really appreciate you stopping by. And to everyone watching,
no, I said I'm going in Silver's head.
I hear you, and I'm also saying
they
like,
always go with the vets. They always go with the vets.
All right. Well, make sure everyone who's watching, though, go to theundefeated.com and check out Mark's profile on Nets assistant coach David Vanderpool, because he made his first public comments since being passed over for the head coaching job in Minnesota. It's a very timely piece considering all the NFL news that's broken this week. So, Mark, thank you so much for stopping by. But I do want to talk about the players who made the roster, because here's how Fred VanVleet reacted when he found out that he made the All-Star roster.
It's hard to find the words for it, but just grateful. I'm grateful. I'm humbled. Obviously, it's been a long journey to get here individually, but just proud of the way this team has competed this year.
Really quickly, Clinton, your teammates, how was it? How did they celebrate with you? And even DeMar, I mean, come on, it's a fairy tale.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a testament to the relationships that I've built over the years and staying true to myself and, you know, trying to pour into other guys. And, you know, I guess they were happy for me. So it's I'm not never really excited. So that was a cool moment.
Man, I love that so much. That was such a great video. Back with our panel here of Chinay, Zach, and Perk. So, Perk, I want to start with you. What was your biggest takeaway from the reserves announcement?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It was Fred VanVleet. It actually made my night. I thought it won the night. You know, when you think about his story, anytime you go undrafted, you know, things of that nature, a guy that doesn't play above the rim, a guy that has to beat out so many other guards and wings to actually get in the All-Star game because it's a guard-driven league. And when you think about his journey, his path, what he had to go through,
yeah.
And now he's an All-Star. Think about this. He didn't get drafted. So that meant all the teams that had a chance to draft him thought that this guy wasn't an NBA player. And now, here today, we're talking about him actually being on the All-Star team. This was everything to me.
He's only the fourth undrafted player in the modern era to make it into the All-Star game. So that was incredibly special. Zach, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, the two that really made me happy were Fred VanVleet, for all the reasons Perk said, and because he was super deserving. And I thought Darius Garland was a deserving All-Star. I was a little worried he was going to skip over. Mm-hmm. He's really been the engine of the Cavs offense. They don't have a lot of ball handlers. He's been outstanding. And I felt for Jared Allen. I thought Jared Allen or Drew Holiday, one of those guys probably should have been on the team in place of Chris Middleton. I mean, all they're awesome. Chris Middleton's deserving too. But a guy like Jared Allen playing for a winning team, he's like a rim-running, shot-blocking center. You never know. He's been outstanding, and you just never know how many chances guys like that, because they're not big scorers. They don't put up 20, 25 a game. You don't know how many chances they're going to have to make an All-Star team, and I thought he had a pretty strong case, so I felt for him.
You know what's interesting? You know, Mark Spears was talking about how if you're Commissioner Silver, you want to put those stars in. Well, we had young stars potentially omitted from the Charlotte Hornets. I was looking at LaMelo Ball, who would be exciting to see in an All-Star game, especially with his ability to pass the ball. He's averaging about 20, and so is his running mate, who potentially was a snub in Miles Bridges. I mean, look at these plays. Like, there's so much fun. He plays the game with so much joy, and he's really played inspiring basketball, so much so that Charlotte is a force to be reckoned with in a way that we probably did not, you know, foresee a couple years ago. So the Hornets, I know they're probably like, man, not one of our guys. And then, of course, Tyler Hero as well. You're the number two seed right now as it stands in the East. This guy leads the NBA in off-the-bench scoring. In a year where the, you know, Heat had to deal a lot with players in and out due to injury or COVID, he has been a common thread. And this man has been a bucket. We talked about before the season started, Tyler Hero, he was like, y'all gonna put me in the same category as these other guys. And he has delivered to the utmost degree. So these guards, I think, might be suitable replacements along with Jaylen Brown.
Perk, I see you with your finger raised over there. What's going on?
I just have something to say. When are we going to start appreciating Jaylen Brown a little bit more? You know, when it comes down to looking at the Celtics, right, we understand. Jason Tatum, he's the Ferrari, right? He's the car that you got parked in the garage with the shiny rims. But Jaylen Brown is actually that F-350. He's ready to carry the loads across country. And here it is. He's averaging almost 25 points a night, and he still don't get the respect that he deserved. And in my opinion, when I look at the Eastern Conference, and y'all know how I feel about Chris Middleton. The world knows how I feel about Chris Middleton. But Chris Middleton is not having a better season than Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown should have been in there before Chris Middleton. And look, Miss Middleton, his mother, I got a chance to meet her. She came up to me and said, I love how you speak up for my baby. And it's no love lost. I'm just keeping it real. Jaylen Brown should have been in that All-Star, should be an All-Star before Chris Middleton this year.
I mean,
I just had to get that out.
The nod, I get the nod to the champs, though. The nod of having to the champs, is that makes sense in my mind. I also understand the case for Jaylen Brown. To me, Tyler Hero is still one of the biggest head scratchers. And I understand Jimmy Butler is the star of that team. But when I'm looking again, why I push back on Mark and Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, it's just the number of games played and what Tyler Hero was able to do in that vacancy. There will be some replacements named. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green has said that he doesn't expect to play in this game, so it'll be interesting to see who fills those all-star spots. But speaking of all-stars, still to come on NBA Today, how about a trip down memory lane, Big Perk? Because the best KG story from their C's days, that's a must hear. Stay tuned. Asia Wilson is an example of black athletes making history beyond the game. Working with Palmetto Health Children's Hospital to bring awareness and raise funds for young people fighting cancer.
I just feel like when I'm having a bad day, I'm down, but there's a kid that's going through probably the ultimate challenge, but they're pushing through. I was so happy to really bring awareness to that, just to continue to work in my community in those ways.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
A Celtics legend is getting his jersey retired. Kevin Garnett, who played 6 seasons in Boston and won a title in 2008, is getting his number 5 retired in March. And yesterday, he spoke about what it meant to him to play in Boston. So take a listen.
I heard Larry Bird say one time that the reason why he loved playing in front of the fans in Boston is because you couldn't fool the fans here. They knew when you were giving your all. And I never forgot that. I told myself that I probably won't be the best player on the court every night, but I'm gonna give a 1,000% of effort. I wanted to be electric. I wanted to win every game. I wanted everybody who I was playing against to know that. I guess the fans resonated with that. So I'm grateful for that.
So for more on KG, we have his former teammate, Kendrick Perkins. So let's start here, Perk. What's your favorite memory of playing with KG?
That's my big brother, though. We more than teammates, Malika. You know, not trying to correct you. But listen, let me tell you something. It's a lot of stories that I could tell you about KG, the big ticket. No, it was a lot of cussing going on, okay? Not cursing, cussing. A lot of that going on dealing with KG. But I could tell you a lot of stories, but I'm going to tell you this one. We were in the regular season, and we're playing the Chicago Bulls and we're in the United Center. And someone got fouled, and we're getting ready, and someone is at the free throw line. So we're lining up for somebody to shoot free throws. And Joakim Noah is standing right next to Kevin Garnett. And we have to remember that guys like myself and Joakim Noah, we grew up idolizing KG. So Joakim Noah was, I believe it was his rookie year or his second year, he was like, hey, Ticket, man. Hey, KG, man, big fan. And, man, I wanna get your number after this, you know, in the back, so I want to work out with you. So KG was like, who the F you talking to? And so he was like, nah, I'm just saying, man, I grew up idolizing you, and, man, I wanna work out. And he was like, MF-er, F you, like that, right? So then Joakim Noah got this look on his face like, dang. So I remember he looked over at Paul, and Paul was like, you heard what he said? And I was just like, man, it's a cold world. Well, but that's what happens when you get with the big ticket and you get between those lines. It's all war.
And anyone who knows Joakim Noah knows that he's not exactly people want to be around Joakim Noah. So for him to say that, mm-hmm. That is so funny. But that also speaks to who he is and what, you know, the big ticket did for the game, how he played, and kind of the swagger that he played with. Thank you so much, Perk. Still ahead on NBA Today, the Mavs, they need to add a scoring threat come trade deadline day. That's according to Tanae. So who's on her mind? Hi, I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and on Thursday, February 10th, tune in to our NBA trade deadline special from 1 to 4 Eastern. We're going to have all the Woj bombs, including our top NBA analysts with insight on all trades around the league. So catch NBA Today on February 10th from 1 to 4 Eastern on ESPN. Tonight, our NBA matchup has Joel Embiid and the 76ers in Dallas taking on Luka and the Mavs. Our coverage tips at 10 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Welcome back to NBA Today. The 76ers, they're only one game out of first place in the East, and that's without Ben Simmons. And with that, we welcome in our NBA reporters Tim Bontemps and Tim McMahon. So, McMahon, we're going to get to you in just a minute. But Bontemps, outside of Joel Embiid, who has impressed you most on the 76ers?
Well, you mentioned the Ben Simmons situation, Malika, and that has obviously hung over the Philadelphia 76ers all year. And one of the big positives of that from the Sixers standpoint has been the growth and development of Tyrese Maxey, his replacement as the Sixers starting point guard. Now, talking to scouts around the league, they've been really impressed with the way that Maxey has stepped into that job and given the Sixers some real scoring punch. You know, look, going into this season, it was unclear Maxey was going to be able to take on that role in his second season, but he's shown a great ability to get to the rim, to attack the paint, to score consistently. He's also shooting around 40% from three-point range, which has been a pleasant surprise. Now, the one thing he needs to work on is his playmaking. That's something that Joel Embiid has given him a hard time about. Some of the guys around the team have given him a hard time about, and that as a young point guard, that's not the easiest thing to do. But you look here, his scoring numbers, his assist numbers have jumped up this season. He's been a really nice, exciting piece for them in the starting lineup. He's become a fan favorite with his energy. And again, with the Ben Simmons drama hanging over this team, having something for Philadelphia fans to celebrate has been, you know, one of the nice positives for them of this year.
Well, and Maxey has certainly been making a case for most improved player, but all eyes will still be on the 76ers as we get closer to that trade deadline. Tim, thank you so much. From one Tim to another Tim, Tim McMahon, you're at the Jazz Arena, and with Joe Ingles tearing his ACL, what do you see the Jazz doing with the trade deadline looming?
You know, there was a good chance that Joe Ingles was going to be traded anyway. You know, he's well aware that his name had come up in a lot of conversations. And I think there's still a chance that he'll be traded as an expiring contract. You know, that might be a value to a team that's looking to get off some salary, or maybe the Jazz just make a move where to lower their luxury tax bill, they're moving off his contract. But the Jazz are looking to upgrade defensively on the perimeter. They've had a lot of conversations with teams around the league, and you know that is certainly priority number one. And again, maybe Joe Ingles' expiring contract can be part of the deal that helps him in that regard.
Absolutely. And Donovan Mitchell, he was cleared tonight to play against the Nets. And you listened into his press conference this afternoon. What did he have to say about what he's been through the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, he called it a rough couple of weeks. And, you know, he's been out 8 games due to concussion protocols. Obviously, a very difficult stretch for the Jazz, with Rudy Gobert also missing most of that time. And, you know, he said he had excruciating headaches. Najee, he was hoping to play during the road trip last week. He went traveled with the team to Memphis, was hoping to play in Minnesota the next game, but felt some symptoms after getting off of that flight, went to New York, visited for a specialist. He's cleared now, so some much-needed good news for the Jazz with Donovan Mitchell returning tonight.
We can't have you here and not talk about Dallas, so pivoting to the Mavericks, what are the Mavericks looking at here as the trade deadline approaches?
Well, certainly they're getting a lot of calls about Jalen Brunson, a lot of calls about Dorian Finney-Smith. You know, these are young, homegrown players who've really developed into key pieces for them, but they are entering, or, you know, they're in contract seasons. They're entering unrestricted free agent. There's a lot of skepticism around the league about whether the Mavs will pay what's necessary to keep those guys. But the Mavericks are telling me neither one of those guys will be traded unless it's an absolute no-brainer type of an offer. They're planning to keep those two for the rest of the season, and they hope moving forward. Now, what the Mavericks would like to do, obviously with Tim Hardaway Jr. going down, is they know they need more scoring on the wing. They need some playmaking on the wing. Goran Dragic, if he hits the buyout market, is very likely to end up in Dallas, joining his friend and fellow Slovenian Luka Doncic. But they're not waiting on that. They are certainly exploring the market, hoping to get some scoring punch, some offensive punch on the wing.
And we will be getting into all of that in our trade deadline special on Thursday the 10th. Tim McMahon, thank you so much for joining us on NBA Today. So Dallas has played itself into the Western Conference's fifth seed and is a healthy 6 games over 500. But after losing Tim Hardaway Jr., maybe healthy isn't the word that we should use here. So back with Chinee and Zach, how should the Mavs approach the trade deadline? Zach, I want to start with you here.
I think they have to ask themselves, if we pay Jalen Brunson and it's going to cost a lot, and it should, and if we pay Dorian Finney-Smith and it's going to cost a lot, and it should, are we locking ourselves into a team during Luka Doncic's early prime that is good but not good enough? And if so, what do we do? And I think they probably will just bring those guys back because they're good players. But I think you have to look at different avenues. If you get bowled over with multiple first-round picks or really good draft compensation, I think you need to sniff around Kristaps Porzingis trades, because ultimately, I think to win the title, and that's the goal with Luka Doncic, they need a talent upgrade somewhere. And if they pay all those guys, it gets more complicated to get that talent upgrade. So I think they'll probably do nothing, and that's okay, but I think they should be looking at ways to get increased flexibility and draft picks going forward.
And I think Tim's right on track when he says, you know, a scoring guard or a wing player, and this is the process of elimination. You say the Mavs need to improve their defense. In January, they've had the second best defense. Check mark there. Luka Doncic, everyone's like, oh, how is he doing so far? Well, if you look at the numbers, almost every category except blocks, he dominates with scoring, rebounds, assists, and even steals. All right, pick and roll. Porzingis, he's like, what, good for, you know, waking up and getting 20 points per game. Post, as long as you play in that pick and roll, Luka's going to find opportunities. So when you eliminate all of those things, the only gap that you have is probably a versatile scoring wing that can take some of the offensive load of creation off of Luka Doncic.
And we're going to dive into all of this much more as we inch closer to that trade deadline. It is coming fast. Zach Lowe, thank you so much for joining us on NBA Today. We will see you soon, my friend. But still to come on NBA Today, which team is more in need of a shakeup? Is it the Lakers or the Knicks? Our panel can choose only one. NBA Today, back in 60 seconds.
Let's go, Knicks.
Julius Randle has become a three-level scorer.
2-on-1 fast break, LeBron with the dunk.
He is a top 5 player in the NBA today.
It's Saturday primetime. Knicks Lakers on ABC.
Welcome back. I'm here with Perk and Chinee. So the Knicks and the Lakers, they're facing off tomorrow on ABC. I'll be on the sidelines for that one. Perk, which team is in more need of a trade?
I believe it's the Knicks, and here's why. I mean, you know, where they were last year to where they at now, I just don't feel the chemistry. I don't feel the flow. Like, to me, it don't seem like guys enjoy playing with one another. And the Knicks got to figure out which direction they want to go in. We thought adding Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker was going to be a plus. That's not turning out so good because it's taken away from Julius Randle with him having the ball more in his hand. So I think it's the Knicks that got to make a move.
Yeah, the Knicks, they've lost 7 of their last 9 games. So I think, you know, you've sort of maxed out on your talent. We all know that New York Knicks fans tend to have great expectations. But the reality is, you know, at this point, the momentum seems to, you know, be waning. And I think that's why trade has to be more on their side versus the Lakers.
Plus, they have more that they're able to do. Just looking at what they have, looking at the cap space, they have more that they are able to do. And you said it, Perk, decide which direction they want to go. Because it seems like ever since 2 years ago when it was that 2 years ago? Gosh, time is just flying together. When Kyrie Irving, when James Harden, when Kevin Durant, that whole thing together, it was just like, you know, I'm not so sure. But Perk, I want to bring up a tweet that you had the other day. You said that you think it may be time for Julius Randle to be done, to part with the Knicks. Why is that?
Well, you know, one thing about me is that I always look at other things that people are not looking at. And I look at body language. And it's not Julius Randle's fault, but I'm looking at certain times where he's not involved in the offense like he used to be. He's just standing in the corner. I'm looking at, you know, his effort. And then we bring up clips where Tibbs is actually in the huddle in the timeout, and he's on the outside of the huddle. So I'm watching body language, I'm watching chemistry. It's something like I was seeing with the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum at one point, but they finally got it together. And that's why I feel like that relationship needs to end.
I had a chance to chat with RJ Barrett for a few minutes yesterday, and he told me, you know, everyone kind of goes through this. It's been such a tough transition to go from being the guy who's the chaser to the chase, to getting double teamed, to having to play like that. So they're saying, you know what, we're behind Julius Randle for now. That's all we can do is support our guy. But that's all we have time for this week. We're back on Monday. NFL Live is next. My friends, thank you for joining us.